My son, do eat honey, for it's a good thing. The dripping of honeycomb sweetness will bring to rightness of knowledge, to wisdom of breath, and hope of the future, renewal, not death. That's our daily scripture for today, little children, from Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14, of the Word Green 2004 translation. Back to our article, Trojan War, now. Chapter 8, paragraph 11. There I made a reference to a notebook entry I had made on September 3rd, 2015, while the 2004 Megiddo 3 report, that's this one, from Timothy P. Harrison, 2004, it included a 10% probability for a date of 1112 to 1102 BCE for Stratum VI's destruction. The report was with regard to Stratum VI of Megiddo. The entire report had to do with Stratum VI. And this is the same report, the same table here. We note in this table, he had mentioned here 1112 to 1102 had a 10% probability from the carbonized sample, which was from Stratum 6, implying that that layer at Megiddo was destroyed, possibly, with a 10% probability in 1112 to 1102. But, of course, we also see there was a much larger 90% probability that it was 1062 to 1006 BCE for that destruction, as Mr. Harrison also reported. But more recent measurements in 2014, 10 years later than 2004, by Tofolo et al., with a famous and extensive research and documentation of Megiddo, not just layer 6, but a lot of different layers at Megiddo were examined using radiocarbon by Tofolo in 2014, and his article is called Absolute Chronology of Megiddo, Israel. And it's in Radiocarbon, Volume 56, Number 1. Here he says, if you see this, what did I want to show you here? There's some interesting, oh yeah, he says interestingly some here that the entire iron 2A, which is represented in area H at Megiddo, two of them quite substantial, lasted for less than 150 years. Oh, that's interesting. In the entire iron 2A. Of course, there's iron 2B, I believe, as well. And before you get into the Achaemenid pottery, the time of Darius or the kings that preceded him, Cyrus, and the time of that just preceded the great king Cyrus of the Persian Empire, and so on. That is the beginning of a new pottery phase, somewhere around 600. But I've got a graph for you, too, that I produced yesterday and published, which was taken using the article by Amahai Mazar in 2008 in the book Israel in Transition, edited by Lester Grab, on pages 103 and 105 of which Mr. Mazar presented two different graphs, and I've positioned them relative to each other in one graph now, so it's a composite. And it shows, using the averages, I was able to average, because he gave all the data for each data point, I could average every single point and found that the points that he called the end of Iron One, the end of Iron Age One, actually had an average of 1065, and because and the standard error of the mean, which is the typical the normal standard deviation for a measurement divided by the root of the number of measurements that you've averaged, square root of that number. So we had something, we had 26 measurements for this group, and so that gave an 11. When I divided the typical standard deviation by root of 26, I got this 11 years. So this end of Iron 1 could be stated to be within this green band here. At about 1065 plus or minus 11 years is the end of Iron 1 then, we could say, according to this graph, that I put together from the data of Mr. Mazar, right? And this, he could compile a lot of different data. It's from a lot of different sites. It's got Megiddo, it has Yokneam, it has... What's NH? I'm trying to think of what NH is. Is BM the British Museum? What is that? There are a lot of different sites. Hazor, HZ. It's got a lot of different sites in Israel here. And Megiddo is MG. Yeah, there are a lot of different places that he utilized for this study here. But in the second instance, he evaluated carbon dates in the black period, which is the darker area of the dark lines in black there. If you're colorblind, it's just the red ones are probably going to appear gray or something. But the pink is the end of Iron 1, and then the expanse or span of mid-iron or Iron 2A as a whole, the span of it with the mid-range, the average, shown here in purple, or with a wider band here at 865 plus or minus 17 years BCE. That is the span, the Iron 2A beginning in 1065 with its average in 865. So there's a 200-year difference between the beginning and the middle of it. But then we could envision it as being 400 years down to 6, even 600 perhaps, as low as that. And the middle of it, as shown by the fact that there are two very low points here for the Iron 2A, with averages way down in the 600 or 700 BCE range. And there's one very high one up around 1100 and something BCE for the Iron 2A. So we see there's an overlap between Iron 1 and Iron 2A. It's not that straightforward, but Shishak falls right in the middle here, 973, really after the end of Iron 1A, if you look at the average. But that explains why the pottery found in the destruction layer was Iron 2A. For many of these cities, which are believed to have been destroyed by Shishak. So our chronology works extremely well with Shishak in 973, according to this graph, it looks like. But I'm still striving to understand what it means. Every day, there's more things there. It's so complex. There are more things every day, more things to learn. So Megiddo 6, with its ash destruction layer, and it's also considered to be early Iron 1 to early Iron 2, the entire layer 6 itself. There's A and B within layer 6. So it's Iron 1 to Iron 2. And it ended, according to Toffolo in 2014, with his remarkable work. Oh my goodness. So he said that Iron 2 lasted less than 150 years, as far as he could tell from Megiddo. But then when we look at the range of the, let's go down to this area, this graph at, near the end, or the chart right here, beautiful little graph he's got showing that Iron 1 to 2A transition here, iron 1L late, that means iron 1 late to 2A, iron 1 late to iron 2A early. The transition is shown by this cross-hatched area, which is right here. And look at its upper limit would be 970 roughly, or 973 is our date right there, somewhere very close to that. And in this case also, very similar to that date of 970 as an upper limit anyway. And then in the case, so that was from area H and the general model as a whole. So let me see if I can get that. You can't see that one. So let me bring it further over somehow. Let me just get rid of the sidebar for a moment here. Hide the tab bar. Hide the sidebar. Yeah. Now you can see the other thing here. So they both show 970. It's very close. 973 very exactly looks like our chronology lines up. Barely within the guidelines, but if you look at the middle region here, which is area K, there's a region that was not possible to be examined here, as indicated by the blank empty square above the crosshatch area. But the crosshatch area goes down low enough to intersect with our 973 again, or very close to it. So all of the indications from the work done here looks like that, in this case, the transition as given by Toffolo in 2014 of iron 1 late to iron 2A is 973, which is when Shishak invaded. That's absolutely stunning for somebody who's been working on the chronology as long as I had before I even found this article by Toffolo. So it's close to correct, 973 for the iron 1 to 2 transition, and figure 6 shows the destruction of H9 iron 1 late at 1000 BC. Let's go to figure 6. That's figure 8. This is it here, figure 6. He's done the radiocarbon with the Bayesian modeling, and there's a destruction right here, start of the post destruction right here. The end of H9, which is area H, what is called 9, and let's find out what that is later, but look at this, 1,000, see? So this is at 1,000, this peak, radiocarbon, right about 1,000 is the end of that layer, and then you see post-destruction occupation phase. Iron 1 late is 980, or very close to 980, if you go understand that the years go backwards as you go to the right. So it's 1,000, then 980 to the right of 1,000 right here. This is like exactly the time, 970, exactly when we think. That's more like 970 than 980. So look at that. That's incredible. So that's the end of this 9, which is the later part. If you look here, let's go back to his earlier. Let's find his earlier table now. He's got a lot of results here I want to show you maybe if we have time. But see, H9, late iron 1, he says, so that's the end of iron 1, basically, is 9. And that's called the Megiddo 6A, the earlier, or top layer, which is later in date, but it's on top. So it was dug up first, so it's labeled A in the sequence, right? 6A, that's the later one, H9. So these numbers always go backwards as you come forward in time, these layer numbers. So H9 corresponds to the end of iron 1, according to that, right? Now look at this, okay. The post-destruction occupational phase. We can look up 980, okay, but let's go back to our search here for a moment. Can you see all that? I think that's clear. It's visible. Let's not hide the sidebar anymore. Let's show the sidebar. It's not showing it. Wait a minute. Okay, let's just do our search again. Here we go. And there it is. Oh yeah, and it's interesting here because he's got more to say about this. I guess I don't need to show that anymore. We can still, yeah, there we go, look at this. He says iron 1 to 2A in Model H is 985 to 935 with the terminus post-quem. And that means the date after which it must have occurred. So the transition must have occurred after 985, but that's still within our range to be 973. It fits, our date still fits. The Shashak date, the green analogy still is perfect here. Unbelievably so, too. In Model K, look, even here, the 976 to 901 in Model K with a 65% probability, which is the higher probability by far of the two dates there. Even that one, the 2% being the other one, for the earlier date, the 976 says that that's the time when something happened. The transition happened between iron 1 and iron 2. And that again agrees with our date. Just amazingly. Now, keep on looking. Let's keep on looking here. Let's go to the next one. To the next found model. And right, even here he's talking about 1,000 plus or minus 15 in Model H for the beginning of, let's see, terminus post-quem. It's after that, yeah. Well, we have to, you know, it's a very detailed article, of course. The beginning of Iron 2A he's talking about here, right? So, and a post-destructional occupational phase at the very end of the late Iron 1 in another area of Megiddo for which there are no carbon 14 dates. So there, it's not like it's a perfect world and we have every bit of information that we could ever have. That's not the scenario, but it looks remarkably close to perfect, I think you would say. Here we have it on page 240, where he mentions again the terminus post quem is, in the case of the second TPQ, is 980 plus or minus 10, which was tested by adding a gap in his model using the Bayesian modeling, and they can put different criteria, enter these criteria into their model. So they added a gap, and they ended up with this terminus post-quem of 980 plus or minus 10. That's the lowest TPQ allowed by the model, but you notice 980 plus or minus 10, 973 falls within that range as well. So it's absolutely phenomenal. The date of 973 seems to be like some kind of great discovery. But I always thought it was just a number, but it was derived from Bible numbers, and there was no other choice than 973 in our chronology, right from the discovery of, well, when did we get this 973? Well, it was from the year of Rehoboam, year 5 of Rehoboam, with year 1 in 977, so year 1 of Solomon 1017, he ruled for 40 years. That determined 973 as Shishak's invasion in year 5 of Rehoboam from the Bible. It says that, year 5 of Rehoboam in the Bible. With a post-destruction occupational phase 980 plus or minus 10. So that's with the gap. Assuming that there was a gap of time after the destruction, it's 980 when it was first occupied again, according to this, plus or minus 10, which would be 970 at the lowest. So it could be maybe there was a less than a 3-year gap. I don't know how many years gap they inserted in their model. They inserted a gap, right? What was it? How much of a gap? Didn't say right there. Maybe he says later elsewhere. I would be surprised if 973 works in every case for everything. It's not going to, because there are so many inherent problems even in the process of the method of radiocarbon, even the method. I mean, they burn the sample sometimes, even if it's not burned already, and then they put it through an accelerator and they, you know. And if you look at another paper that we, it was one that we looked at recently, there were two labs that did the testing, and the two labs that did the radiocarbon testing on the same samples, in some cases, differed by 100 years in the radiocarbon dating for the same sample, just because they used a different laboratory to do the tests. So there are obviously problems with radiocarbon that we can't expect our number to do so well as it's doing, yet it is. H9 was destroyed by fire. That's why we think that would fit Shishak, right? And the post-destruction phase is coincident with the 973 BCE Shishak, the first incursion date. He's called Shishak the first in Egyptian history because there were a number of kings called Shishak. Now, H10, which is stratum 6B, the oldest part, because they dig down to get to level B, right? So it's older because it's underneath the newer layers that were built on top. That was also dated, and since the floor of H10 was found by five measurements to date between 1125 and 976 within one standard deviation, 1050 being the common mean, it becomes logical to state and discuss whether H10 was built by King David, 1058 year 1, King David, 41 years until King Solomon 1017, his son, began to rule. So 1050 for that date suggests King David, and then H9 possibly was built by Solomon. So let's look at these measurements that he talks about, these five measurements. It's very easy to find them. They're right in the table of all the results he gives. If we look back, there's H9, of course. That's the pre-destruction floor, though, so that's not one that we really would be interested in right now. But here's 10 right here. See these? I think there are more than five, but if you look at this, there are, here's one here, the floor of H10, right? Which would be getting close to the layer below it, in other words, which is going to be, what is that? The floor of H10. It's 1125, right? At the upper limit, okay. And then the floor of H10, here it's 1113, upper limit, to 1098, and 1090 to 1014. 1113 to 1098, the lower limit of the first one was 1026, so it's always falling within 976 so far. 1113 to 1098 for this one, the floor again, the same, it's the same level. It's the same, still H10. It hasn't changed. 1090 to 1012, 1110 to 1104, and 1075 to 1065. But then those were only 2% and 4%, but then 1056 to 976 of the floor of H10 again. That's within 1125 to 976. All of those look like they're within 1125 to 976. And 1050 is the common mean of those two numbers. Is that true? We add 74. Yep. Very, very close to the common mean. The reconstruction of Megiddo 6 after 973 is clearly demarcated by 980 plus or minus 10, which was the date Tofolo gave for reoccupation, eliminating some of the old wood effect in the destruction date, because it's reoccupation, right? It's not like it's been around. They're rebuilding something, so there's going to be a lot of new wood, seeing as 973 would be when Shishak would have had our terminus post-quem for erecting his 10-foot-high stela, post-destruction 6, also. We see that also, that he must have erected, that's the date after which he couldn't build his stela until he conquered. So he built it after 973 in our chronology, and the exact provenience of the stela is unknown, except that it was found in a dump from excavations above, that is, before the excavation of Megiddo 6, which is good again, right? So meaning that reoccupation coincided with both our chronology for this incursion and with the stela, a fact hard to fully ignore. Logic then further dictates that half of 6 was built by King David, that is, age 10, circa 1058 to 1018, which is David's 40 years of rule, and the later half, age 9, destroyed by Shoshank, was built by King Solomon, meaning city levels 5 and 4 are not by Solomon. Fascinating, right there. So we see something new that would disagree with Yadin saying that Solomon built the gates of levels 4 and 5 at Megiddo. Seems to conflict with that, because somebody after Solomon would be implicated then in that. That just about does it for our time, but I think we should look at our graph, I think, because I spent a huge amount of beautiful time, enjoyable time, building this graph. I had to scale the other graph, first of all, to make it so that the vertical scales matched. And then I had to figure out how the program worked, using the graphics image manipulation program version 2.10, using that, which is called the GIMP. And it's infuriating to use that program sometimes. I'm not sure whether it's just that program or, you know, just because I haven't used it for quite a while. I had a lot of issues, but there are a lot of things that are not quick. You can't do them quickly with that program. Still a very powerful program, but free, also completely free. And so we go from 13 in this article by Mazar. It's his article in that book by, well, which is edited by Lester Grab, 2008, called Israel in Transition. Mr. Mazar's article was called From 1200 to 850 BCE, and that was, and there was a further comment in that too. We can even look at his article, I think. Here it is. This is part of his article I was able to obtain. Let's just try and make it a bit bigger here. That's too big. This is not a high quality copy of it either. Let's see. We've got some time. And just a little tiny bit of time, but here he says, remarks, the subtitle of his article is, on some selected archaeological issues, talking about 1200 to 850 BCE. I haven't had time to read the articles. I don't read enough of the articles in their entirety because I'm so busy discovering new things, then going on to the next discovery, the next article, and looking for more substantiation for anything, because if we don't keep our belief alive, if we don't keep our faith alive in the chronology, if we don't keep finding new things that suggest that our chronology is right, we will have a fall from grace. You know, we will not continue to believe. So we have to keep searching and researching. And that's what I'm always doing, it seems. And I just, of course, I had quite a long hiatus from the intense research. But even reading the Bible now will bring back to mind a lot of my chronology because it's so connected to the Bible. And every time you read an article, you see, oh, look, he refers to an article by somebody and with a date, and you can go look it up. It's using their name and the date, and you search for what. Or in the if you have this full article and at the end he gives the references, you might get the name of the article too. And then you can research using the name and find it more quickly sometimes. But every time I read anything, and that's why it's so dangerous to read articles too. You you find out you have to do a lot more research just to read all the articles that are quoted in the article you're reading. Wow. Then he gives a table here. There, in general, it's a general subdivision of this period throughout the country. That is, the subdivision of the pottery typology, wow, it's hard to understand what he's saying. But if you read, here he's saying, most of the 12th century is included by certain scholars, he mentions, in the late Bronze Age. Right, yeah, it was the end of Bronze I that was the time we were talking about, was the time of Joshua. Okay, but there's Bronze II and so on. And Iron Age begins in about 1200, which would be the beginning of the 13th century. Iron Age begins. But he's saying here that some people are saying that most of the 12th century belongs in the late Bronze. So there may even be overlaps, of course, like we see in the case of our graph. There's quite an overlap between the end of Iron 1 here, when Iron 2A begins, and then look at all the other, there are some other red or pink, lighter colored pink points down below that beginning of 2A. Definitely quite a few of them. So Iron 1 might have ended already in 1065, but that's not to say there isn't Iron 1A pottery still around. So I think that's what let's just close this or bring it down so we can make room for what we're reading here. Here we are. That's perhaps what Mr. Mazar is saying here. You know, there's some kind of difficulty in making everything fit perfectly, but here we have late Bronze II, and then Iron 1A. And then he talks about Iron 1B and the transition. But according to Gilboa and Sharon, they differ, you see, in the way that they assess it. That's it for today. Look at this. August 2nd, 2024, of the Common Era, 21:22 hours Eastern Daylight Time. I'm Ward Green, and I love you very much. Thank you for listening and watching. In my behalf, this is Liv Dusty, and this is Cassie. They're saying bye for now. We've been studying Trojan War, and we are in Chapter 8, paragraph 11 today. Bye for now.